Open your Bibles to somewhere, would you please? Psalm 46. Tonight I'm teaching on the science of strength. The science of strength. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help. I love that. It could have said just a present help, but he's a very present. I don't know what very present means. I don't know how you can be more present than present, but whatever it is, he is. A very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Now turn to Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4, the very, very famous fourth chapter of Philippians. Verse number 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Our Heavenly Father, we come now to study this amazing book and study the science of it, the way to live the Christian life, how to get things done practically. I pray tonight you'd help us to learn how to get physical strength, energy in this study. In Jesus' name, amen. 27 times in the Bible, we're commanded to be strong. Now listen to me carefully. Listen carefully now. Hear me carefully. 27 times in the Bible. Now don't take notes. Just listen to me. 27 times in the Bible, we're commanded to be strong. God never commands us to do anything. Please do not take notes now. I beg you to cooperate and look right this way and listen to me now. I mean it. Listen to me carefully now. I know something about learning. If you sit there with your pen and take notes, you're not going to learn, and you're not going to cooperate either. Now listen carefully. 27 times in the Bible, God commands the Christian to be strong. God never commands us to do anything that we cannot will to do. How many times do I say that? Anything that God commands us to do, we can decide to do it. God never commands us to do anything beyond our ability to will to do. Now then, if God says 27 times in the Bible to be strong, then that means you can decide to be strong. I'm talking tonight about physical strength. I'm not talking about spiritual strength tonight. I'm not talking about mental strength. I'm not talking about emotional strength. I'm talking about strength in your arms, strength in your legs, strength in your body. I'm talking about there are ways that you can get physical strength. Now, here's what will happen. You'll go to the doctor, some of you will, and you'll spend hundreds of dollars because I just feel run down. Well, I'm going to tell you how to get run up tonight. I'm going to show you what you can do to be strong. I'm talking about the kind of strength that vitamins bring. I'm talking about the kind of strength that minerals bring. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I know what I'm talking about. That's one good thing about having an old preacher. He's tested things. He's learned things not just by what it says in the Bible, though that's enough. But I have tested. I know what I'm talking about. I dare anybody in this room, I don't care if you're 18 or 25 or 30 or 35, I dare you to keep up with this old man. I dare you to. Yesterday morning, I got up about 3:45, about 3:45. I was on the airplane to O'Hara Field by 6:30. I got to Greensboro High Point, Winston-Salem, North Carolina. I rushed right to the auditorium where I preached, and you know how I preach. Anybody was there would tell you. I preached hard and stomped and hollered and ran across the platform, and I preached. I went straight to a board meeting and was in that board meeting. I haven't gone to my room yet, haven't checked in yet. From that, I had to counsel with a man, and then I got to my room about 3:30 in the afternoon. Now, bear in mind, I hadn't even unpacked yet. I haven't got to my room. I had to leave last night a little after 6 o'clock to go back and preach again. And I preached hard last night. And I had appointments after the service. And I got back to the room about midnight. And I got up this morning about 5 minutes to four, about 3:55 this morning. And I got on the plane and flew to Chicago. Then I went to an appointment over in Chicago about youth conference and spent some time there. And then I came back to the college and I preached hard at the college. And then I had my faculty meeting and preached and spoke to the faculty meeting at the college. And then came back to the church and got ready for tonight. And then conducted teachers meeting. And then went home, got my outline. And then I came back. And I did not go out of town at all last week. So I'm going out both ends this week. I leave tomorrow morning to go to San Antonio, Texas, where I'll preach tomorrow night. Friday afternoon, I'll have a question and answer session with pastors. All beside that, I got to make phone calls, and I've got to prepare sermons, and I got to prepare Bible studies, and I've got to counsel with people. Everywhere I go, people are waiting for me because they got to talk to me, and they're there waiting. They got church problems and so forth. And then I come back on Saturday, and I get back on Saturday about noon, and I have an appointment at about 12:30 and one at 1. And meet with the bride with the groom at 1:30, and have a wedding at 2, and have appointment at 3, and have appointment at 3:30, have ordination Saturday night, have appointment starting at 5:30 Saturday night, up until 7 o'clock, have ordination Saturday night, have an appointment after ordination Saturday night, and I'll go home and unpack and get ready to go out of town on the following Monday. Now I know what I'm talking about. I'm not telling you what I heard. I'm telling you what I know. Now you're looking at a man who works hard all the time, and you're looking at a man who in general stays strong. Now, I take vitamins. Now, that's not my sermon tonight, but I take vitamins. I take a one-a-day vitamin tablet. I take 4 lecithin capsules a day. I take 4 wheat germ oil capsules a day. I take an aspirin every day. I take garlic every day. Well, John does too, I noticed. And I take garlic capsules every day. I take 4,000 units of vitamin C every day. Truth is, I have to get strong from carrying the vitamins everywhere I go. But I know people right here that you practically own a health food store, but you're just tired all the time. I'm just worn out. I'm just exhausted. I must have, what disease? Epstein Barr, or Einstein Carr. I'm not talking about people who have physical ailments. And what do? You keep going to a doctor until some doctor will tell you to quit working so hard, and that's the worst thing you can do for your strength. Now, tonight, I'm talking about energy. I'm talking about pep. I'm talking about vigor. Now, listen carefully. Ask any doctor, and he'll tell you that most of our tiredness is mental or spiritual. Now, the secret to being not being tired because of mental, the secret is not having stress. That's the secret. Now, I do not have a lot of stress. You say, Brother Hiles, with all the stuff you got to do, how do you keep having stress? That's what you're going to learn right now, dummy. If you could ask any questions, I'll get into it. I'm telling you, you sit with the hounds. All the battles you fight, how do you keep having stress? I'm going to tell you how I keep having stress. Now, I'm not saying I never have stress, but I'm saying I've made a study of what to do so I won't have stress. Now, listen, Gary. If you stop the stress, you'll stop most of you being tired. Now, you really will. I know what I'm talking about. Some of you folks can't stay awake during church. I can tell you tonight how you can stay awake during church. Sleep all day and get rested. That's the way you do it. But now then, the key, now follow me carefully. The key to physical strength is elimination of stress. And the key to elimination of stress is forgetting about yourself. Illustration. Cindy got married. She was our last child at home. And the first time I ever had any hot bath water for years. But when Cindy got married, she was the last one. And believe it or not, I'm sort of an emotional kind of a soft-hearted cuss. You'd never know it. Weighed down inside. I'm emotional and I'm tender-hearted and I cry easily and I also get mad easily too. But anyway, it was hard on me. I'm the kind of guy that every day I go to the kid. I go to Cindy's room where she was every day. Look at her picture and thank God she's gone. But every day I go to every one of the kids' rooms every day. I look at their pictures every day and remember the shape those rooms were in. Looked like the Korean War was fought in there every night. But I knew I'm the kind of guy to crack up. I mean, the last one's gone, and I'm the kind of guy. But I've studied things like this. I know what to do. So I made a big appointment. I'm in a marital problem. People about to get divorced. And I said, Red Mabel, I'll meet you as soon as the wedding is over. And, but I went straight. I think they're out here. When they said goodbye, they're out here at the end of the alley. I'm almost sure they were. Anyway, I said goodbye to them out there. I walked straight to my office and had an appointment. And within 15 minutes, I didn't even know we had any kids at all. Now, I know how to avoid stress, and I'm going to teach you tonight. Now, this is what I do to avoid stress. Number one, turn to Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10. Again, I'm not giving you a study of what I've read in somebody's book. I've never read this in anybody's book. I do it myself. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat. That's the first thing I do. A Big Mac, quarter pounder with cheese. I'm going to preach the Bible whether you like it or not. There it is. Well, there's a command to eat the fat. Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our God, neither be ye sorry. Now get this. For the joy of the Lord is, listen to me, your strength. Well, you say, Brother Hiles, that's talking about spiritual strength. It is not. It says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, wait a minute. You say that means if I have the joy of the Lord, I'll be strong? That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about when God has joy, it gives you strength. When God has joy. All right. Now, what makes God have joy? We'll not turn to it. Luke 15, 7 and 10 says, there's joy in the presence of the angels, more over one sinner that repenteth than 99 just persons that need no repentance. So, that means if I can make God happy, is that right? Then I will be strong, is that right? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Listen, you can't, you won't know how that you're tired and you'll be strong if somebody you love is happy. For example, The cold souls. Where are the cold souls? Over here. You're not supposed to be there. You're supposed to be here. Okay, the cold souls. Their boy was chosen the most valuable player in the tournament last week. He wasn't, but cold soul said he's going to resign if his boy didn't get it, so I told the principal. But now, wait a minute. Brother cold soul, you and Miss cold soul, when they're playing that championship game and your boy was a high-point man and he made a couple of three-point shots out there, were you tired? Huh? Did your wife look over and say, I'm just worn out? Does she ever do that? I said, does she ever do that? Okay, has she ever said that while your boy was having a great basketball game? Why? The joy of your son is your strength. Now, if I want to be strong, one thing I do is try to make God happy. The joy, for example, your daughter's getting married. It's a big deal for her. Anybody ever go to sleep at your daughter's wedding? No, you, well, Jorgensen will, but no, you don't do that. Who has a daughter got married here recently? Okay, Ray, you got daughters married. Did Mabel ever say to you, down here at the front, I am just worn out? No, she didn't say that. Does she ever say it at home? That's one of the reasons I had to counsel with them so long. Of course. Every woman in this world has said that. I am worn out. But they've never said it when their child was being inaugurated. Methinks I'm in trouble. When your child is being installed. Shut up. When your child is being installed in the National Honor Society, you never say, I am worn out. Now, let me tell you something. If you ever love God like you ought to, when he's happy, that makes you strong. Listen. I was down south a few weeks ago, and I was tired. I really was. I was tired. So what did I do? Take a nap? No, sir. That makes me tireder. Man, it takes me an hour to wake up. I don't wake up. I get resurrected from the dead when I get up. That doesn't give me strength. Taking a nap does not give me strength. What did I do? I got on the elevator, went downstairs, went downtown, and started going up and down the street, winning folks to Christ. And I got to thinking, up in heaven, they're rejoicing right now. And my heavenly Father's having a spell right now. And he sure is happy. And I got strong. And that night, I preached like a house of fire. I burned out. But I'm trying to tell you that the problem is, you don't believe this. See, you resign your Sunday school class. The truth is, you ought to increase your work in your Sunday school class. So, the first one, and I'm talking about strength. I'm talking about like vitamins. I'm talking about like minerals. I'm talking about pep. I'm talking about enthusiasm. I'm talking about energy. I'm talking about vigor. Number two, Isaiah 40:28. Look at it, please. Very famous passage, Isaiah 40:28. I love this verse. Hast thou not known? These folks were tired. He said, Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. I get this. He giveth power to the faint. Now listen to me. Preachers like to say that's talking about the power of God. That's not talking about the power of God. This is talking about physical strength. He giveth power to the faint. Okay, how does he do it? Look at verse 30. Well, let's go on to verse 29. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. I wish I could let you know that God can give you strength better than the doctors can. I'm not kidding you. Oh, Doc, you got any tonic I could take? The truth is, some of you gals, because men can't afford to go to the doctor, but some and no real man wants to go to the doctor. But some of you gals, you go to the doctor, he could say, this will give you energy. It could be Kool-Aid, as long as you believe it. Why? It's right up here, most of it. I'm not talking about you. Listen now, I'm talking about you folks that are physically ill. I'm talking about you don't have to be tired. The Bible says, to them that have no might, he increases strength. Now get this. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. I love to see you college punkos come to my office. You guys 19 and 20 and 21 years of age. Think, I'm tired all the time. I'd be ashamed telling an old man that if I were you. I'd be ashamed telling an old man who works like I do that you're tired. The Bible says the youths may faint, but it goes on to say, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. By the time I got through that sermon last night, folks came by and I bet you're exhausted. Not me, brother. I feel stronger when I get through than I do when I start. I mean that. I preach my way out of being tired. Why? That word, that term, wait upon the Lord, it's like a waiter standing, waiting upon you, saying, May I take your order, please? They that wait upon the Lord, may I take your order. Now, follow me carefully now. The secret to strength is not having what? Stress. Say it. Not having what? Anybody home? Say it again. Stress. Secret to strength is not having what? Stress. What's the secret to strength? Not having what? Now, what causes stress? Thinking about yourself. So if you want to lose your stress, you quit thinking about yourself. Now, when the waiter is there, he's not thinking about himself. He wants to get your order. And then he gets your order, and he goes and fills your order. His mind is off of himself. Now, when you get that way about God, they that wait upon the Lord. Dear Lord, may I take your order, please? Dear Lord, what would you want me to do? And then when, and it's, this is not talking about, you know, the new evangelicals and the daily devotional books. Those little soft, suave. Go, if you want strength today, go look at a butterfly. I've looked at butterflies by the dozens. I've never gotten any strength. Go watch a river, as it goes down the side of the mountain, and realize that God made that little river. That's not the way you get strength. That's the way some sissy gal writes these daily devotionals. I would give you a dime for all of them, by the way. One little half of a verse, and it's usually something like this, and I'm going to use this verse in a few minutes and teach what it really means. In quietness and confidence shall be thy strength. The Bible says they that wait upon the Lord. Not sitting around waiting and doing nothing. It's not talking about coming apart for a season. It's talking about saying, God, what should I do? And as soon as you tell me what to do, I'll do it. That's what gives you strength. Turn to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28. One of the most important verses in the Bible about strength. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you what? What? Well, boy, that's good. I can just sit on the front porch and rock and say, I don't know, and I don't care. All I want is my rocking chair. If I'll just come to Jesus, he'll let me just rest. That's what he's talking about. Let's see what. Come unto me, all ye that labor, and I'll give you heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Now, how does he do it? Take my yoke upon you. Anybody hear what a yoke is? It's when a couple of mules or a couple of oxen are pulling a load. He said, hear me now, he said, if you want rest, you come to me and I'll put you to work. That's what he said. That's what he said. Why? Because when you are working, you forget yourself. And when you forget yourself, right now, I'm not thinking how I'm doing. I know I'm doing wonderfully well, but I'm not thinking how I'm doing. When I preach, I don't wonder how I'm doing. I don't. I never say, am I doing very well? I don't think about that. I've got something I want you to get. And I don't even know I'm here. I'm just trying to get you to get it. And that's why I've got energy. And he said, look at it. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How does he do it? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You want to know how to learn somebody? You work with them. I got a letter today from Dr. Bob Gray in Longview. He's one of the fellows that went to the Philippine Islands recently with us. And Dr. Bob Gray said this, hear carefully, he said his letter. He said, Dr. Hiles, I loved you at a distance. I never got to know you real well. I started working closely with you. But he said, as I've gotten to know you up close and to see work with you closely, he said, I've grown to love you more than I've ever loved you and appreciate you more than I've ever appreciated you before. Now, what's he saying? He's saying we're carrying the same yoke. And as we carry the same yoke, we learn of each other. You don't learn what people are like when you're playing. You learn what they're like when you're working. And if you want to get to know Jesus, you work. You do his work. Get out of the load. Carry the load. Pull the yoke. That's the way you get strong. I've gone to the pulpit time and time again. So tired I couldn't stand up. When I got through preaching, I was looking for some place to go preach again. Why? Because I took his yoke upon me. And he goes on, listen, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Now that word soul, ladies and gentlemen, is talking about the inner man, which is the one that gives strength to the outer man. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, hold it. He's not saying there that his burden doesn't weigh as much as the world's burdens. He's saying when you get busy with my yoke, you won't even realize how heavy the load is. And you will forget yourself. And when you forget yourself, are you listening? When you forget yourself, you lose your stress. You lose your stress. You don't tire as easily. And you take his yoke upon you, and it gives you strength. You say, I don't believe that. Well, check. See how you're doing. See how you're doing. You're taking pep pills now. And going to doctor after doctor. Having go to the chiropractor, and the osteopath, and the medical doctor, and the veterinarian, and everything else, trying to get you some strength. And he can do as much good as most of them can. If it's strength. God is the author of strength. I said God is the author of strength. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. How do I get that strength? I've got to get rid of my stress. How do I get? All you've got to do to get stressful is stop and think. Folks, do you understand? I was at the airport this morning. Now think about this for a minute. I was walking down the airport and I got to thinking. I got to go to a place over in LaGrange. And take care of some matters, planning the youth conference. In 24 hours, I said, I'll be back here. And between now and then, I get this, between now and then, I got to go to LaGrange, then I got to drive all the way to college, then I got to preach, then I got to conduct a faculty meeting, then I got to go to the church, then I got to go home, and then I got to go back to the church, and then I got to conduct teacher's meeting. Then I got to commit a big service. Then I got to go home and unpack and pack for tomorrow. Then I got to go to bed and I got to go to sleep. Then I got to get up and I got to take a shower and I got to shave and I got to brush my teeth and I got to get dressed and I got to go to the airport. And 24 hours. I got thinking, man, I may as well stay out here. But you know what? Do you know in those between those two times, I probably won't think about myself one single time. He said, "With the hounds, don't you fret about your enemies?" No. I may fret a couple of days when I first hear something bad, but no, it's not my way of life. What do you say, Brother Hounds? How do you care? I don't sit around. Oh, what am I going to do? I get busy and do it. What can I do? Well, do something. All right? First thing I do, I try to make God happy because that gives me strength. That's soul winning. Second, I wait upon the Lord. That means I wait for his commands and then I obey his commands. Several years ago, many years ago, we were having pastor school. That Sunday before pastor school, I had 103 fever and a bad case of the flu. Congestion, I was sick. Pastor school started on Monday night. I did not know if I could make it. I had 103 and a half temperature on Monday night at the first session of pastor school. I begged God to give me strength to go through the week. The next time I thought about it, was Friday when it was all over. And I said, wait a minute, I've been sick. But I wasn't sick. I wasn't sick. I was well. You know why? I took his yoke upon. I'm not saying that's the way you get well. I'm saying that's the way you get strength. I'm saying
that this old...
I think you ought to sleep some, but you get enough sleep at church. You don't have to sleep anywhere else. I think you ought to sleep some, but I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that's where strength comes from, right up there. I'm talking about pep. I'm talking about energy. I'm talking about vigor. I'm talking about strength. It comes from God. And the joy of the Lord, waiting on the Lord. Now look at Proverbs 10:29. Boy, I love this. Love it all. Proverbs 10:29. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright. Look at me. What does that mean? That means to do the will of God is strength to the upright. When I do what God wants me to do, that's strength. God gives me strength if I do what He wants me to do. I wonder if anybody here believes what I'm saying. I wonder if anybody here practices what I'm saying. You boys going through school, you need to learn how to get strength. Oh, you sit with the house. I can't make it on 4 hours sleep. I'll do what you can do. I'm clapping because I'm doing well. I'll tell you what you can do. You let me fiddle with your alarm, with your clock while you're asleep. And let me fiddle with your clock where you think you get 8 hours, but you just get 4. And you'll feel great if you think you've got 8. I'll finish preaching in California or Seattle or Portland, San Francisco, Los Angeles. I'll finish preaching there on a Tuesday night. I'll leave the church about 11 o'clock and I'll catch a plane at midnight. I'll get to O'Hare Field and I'll be on that stupid plane and I'll be on the plane about 3 hours and 30 minutes coming back. Now, you try to sleep sitting up on a plane. It's not as easy as sitting up in a pew. But I will get off that plane worn out. Literally worn out. But what do? I go to work. I go to work. What do you do on the plane? Most of the time I work on the plane. I go to work. If I go to work, I got my mind off myself. And if my mind's off myself, I don't have any stress. I don't have any stress. God can give me strength if I work. These mothers write me about you preacher boys. You little sissy namby pamby lace wearing guys. Your mommy writes me and says, "Dear Dr. Hiles, my little boy is wearing himself out. My little boy is only getting 6 hours sleep a night. He goes to school and he has a job. And my little boy, did you know that when I was your little boy's age, we were overseas, my crowd was overseas fighting in a war and sleeping in foxholes?" He's not your little boy. He's a man. Grow up. God has strength for you. Look back to Isaiah 30:15. I mentioned it a while ago. This is the one you'll find in all the devotional books. Isaiah 30:15. "For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength." Now, let me tell you what that means. That means if you depend upon God to help you, that means God will give you confidence you can take care of the situation. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. I know my work. I know what I'm doing. When I preach tomorrow night in San Antonio, I'll know what I'm doing. I've studied for years. I've worked for years. I know what I'm doing. I'm not the best preacher in the world, but I know what I'm doing. I know I can't do it by myself. I know that He is helping me. I know that He and I can get the job done. So I say to Him, let's go in there, and together, let's do it. And I have the, I don't walk in, oh, how am I going to do? Wonder what I'm going to say. Fellow said he worries about three things before he speaks. First, what he's going to say. Second, what he's saying. Third, what he said. I don't do that. When I get through preaching, I learned this lesson, brother. If I don't do a good job, I say, okay, come back tomorrow night. You're going to get it tomorrow night. I can recall, as a kid preacher, I'd go to my room if I didn't do a very good job, and I'd just cry and cry. I was out in Southern California preaching to Dr. Ray Bateman one time. I laid an egg big enough to hatch triplet dinosaurs from. And I went to the washroom and stayed in the washroom until everybody left the parking lot. I wouldn't even walk out of the washroom. I locked myself in and wouldn't walk out. But one day it dawned on me, okay, didn't do so well tonight. We'll get them tomorrow night. What does it mean? If I believe that God is with me, then I believe we can do it. And if I believe we can do it, I'm confident we can do it. And if I'm confident we can do it, I'm not worried about how I'm doing. You know, you singers that forget your words, you know when you forget them? You're thinking about your words and how you're doing too. But if you lose yourself in that song, it's no problem. I'm saying in quiet confidence. Again, what causes folks not to have strength? What? What causes folks not to have strength? Stress. And what causes stress? Thinking about self. So we've got to get our minds off ourselves to get strength. Is that right? All right, if we wait on the Lord, that gets our mind off ourselves. If we want to please Him, make Him happy and not ourselves happy, that gets our mind off ourselves. If we will do the will of God and want to do His will and walk His way, that gets our mind off ourselves. And God gives us strength. And then if we have confidence that He can do it through us. Not a man alive that asked God to help him. I'll guarantee you, before I preached last night, I'll guarantee you on the platform for 30 minutes, I'll guarantee you that 100 times I said, dear God, help me tonight. Give me strength tonight. And I'll guarantee you when I got up, I had strength. And I'll guarantee you I didn't even know my name and address. You know I've had spells like that. I didn't even know I existed. Why? I was caught up last night. What? In getting something across, trying to change some lives and churches. I'm saying, but I forgot myself and got in the yoke and served Him and made Him happy and did His will. Then I got strong. So can you? Turn to Proverbs 24:10. Proverbs 24 and verse 10. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Now let's look at me. Look at me. Preachers that have troubles and quit lose their strength and their zeal. Preachers that have troubles and tough it out are the ones that are strong. You look at old Dr. Lee Robertson. Been through the scars of battle for over 55 or 60 years. 84 years old or so. Still preaching all over the country and going strong. Why? He didn't turn back in the day of adversity. Preached with Dr. Tom Malone. Good night, the guy's 76 years old or so. Preaches like he's 25. You know why? Because the guy's been through the battle and didn't turn back. You guys that have quit college because you have adversity, you're going to get mono. You know how I know? Because a guy that will quit will kiss his girlfriend too, and that's where you get mono. But anyway, It's worth it, huh? I'm saying, if you forget yourself, you don't have stress. And if you refuse to stop, you'll forget yourself. I was in a paratrooper. We had to run 10 miles a day. Now, I'm out here running. Hup, hup, three, four. Hup, hup, three, four. Hup, hup, three, four. I get thinking, boy, I'm tired. I wonder if I can make another step. No, I can't. But I forget it. I don't even know I'm. I don't even think about it. Hup, 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 three, four. Hup, hup, three. I just wouldn't think about it being tired. I just kept on running and kept on counting. And that's the way you do it. You just keep on. You don't think about quitting. Listen, Brother Ray, I don't use you. I just want to give you an illustration. You and I have this Lord's Supper, and everybody in this room knows you and I race to see who can get through first, too, don't we? Everybody knows it. I hate to get some slow rascal like Huckins or somebody like that over here on my side. Here you are just passing it on. And then we go down there. We have a race to get back here first, don't we? And my children used to say, Dad, you did good today. Cindy still says it sometimes. But you know what I can do? I pass that juice out and walk back up these stairs. If I stop and say, I wonder if I'm going to lose my breath, I will. But if I don't think about it, I don't. I'm saying that most of your weariness and most of your weakness, I'm not saying it all, but most of it, is caused by stress that is caused by your thinking about yourself. A doctor told me, in fact, more than one doctor told me this, that 90% of all illness is psychological. One doctor told me, he said, if I didn't treat patients that were not sick but thought they were and thought themselves into getting sick, he said, I couldn't even support my family. I mean, that was told me by a doctor. Now, the truth is, if you will forget yourself. Ladies, if you have a bad hair day, I know how you feel. I have bad hair day every day. No hair day. I have a bad no hair day every day. But okay. And ever you bust your noggin looking in to see how it looks. Running the telephone pole. Quit thinking about yourself. Quit thinking about yourself. When you think about yourself, that causes stress. Stress causes weariness. Conversely, if you quit thinking about yourself, then that means you don't have the stress. And if you don't have the stress, 90% of your weariness is gone and you have strength. Now, we got to figure out how to forget ourselves. How do we forget ourselves? We forget ourselves by waiting upon the Lord and trying to do what He wants us to do and lose ourselves in it. How do we forget ourselves? We forget ourselves by taking His yoke upon us and working with Him. How do we forget ourselves? We forget ourselves by trying to make God happy. How do we forget ourselves? We forget ourselves by confidence. In quietness and confidence, He and I can do the job together. And then we by refusing to stop. Now turn to Psalm 119:28 for our last verse. Psalm 119, verse 28. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. Now what does that mean? That means pay attention to Him. Pay attention to what He says. I'm not talking about this charismatic word of knowledge junk. That's not the God speaking. I'm so tired of us blaming the Holy Spirit for stuff. Holy Spirit inspired that book right there, and 99% of all the things He says to you through that book. But I'm saying this. I come down here to counsel. Let's say it's a Thursday night, and I get here at 5:30. And I look down, and I look on that list, and I'm tired. I am. I'm worn out. I look on that list, and I see 17 names on that list. And I've only given each one of them 15 minutes, maybe. And I know this guy here is going to take 30 because he can't say hello in 15. And this gal is going to take 45 because I'm going to ask her how she feels. That's going to take 30 minutes of the time right there. Now, I'm worn out. Do you know what I do, Brother Bob? When you come to my office or anybody else, I give you my undivided attention. I mean, I am living in your problem and in your burden. And you folks that are coming to my office, you know it's the truth. When I counsel with you, I give you my attention. I say, you tell me, your teenager having, I said, tell me your side of the story. And I listen to you. And I am intently listening to you, everything you say. And when I do that, I'm forgetting myself. Now, when you get that way about this book, to where you intently listen to God in this book, God, by the way, I can walk out of my office at 10 o'clock at night, 17 people, and 4 hours and a half later, I can walk out of my office feeling twice as good as I did when I walked in. You know why? Because I have intently listened to your problems. And in doing that, I have forgotten about myself. And brother, whenever I get the place to where I get a little bit self-pity, that's going to cause me stress, and that's going to make me tired. I pick up my telephone to return some of my calls to fellows I know are having trouble. Or I'll pick up my telephone and call somebody across the country that hadn't even called me. I know they're having trouble. I'll call Dean Miller out in Colorado. He's going through hell right now. All kinds of lawsuits. I'll call him. By the time I listen to him and listen to him and care for his burden, I've forgotten mine. Now, folks, you listen to me. You don't have to have 90% of your weariness. God in heaven gives you strength. But the way he gives you strength is when you lose yourself. Because when you lose yourself, then you lose your stress. You know, if I'm talking to you about your problem, I don't get stressed out. It's my problem that stresses me out. You know why? Because I don't know the answer to my problem, but I know the answer to yours. And unsolved problems stress you out. I just don't know what I'm going to do. Your whole body. I just don't know what I'm going to do. You get real tense for a while. For 10 minutes, you can get real tense and all. Sometimes you think you're going to have a wreck. Here comes a big six-wheel truck right towards you. And all of a sudden, you slump down and go under his wheels. All of a sudden, what do you do? Sure you do. Pull over side of the road and say, you're tired. And you got tired in 30 seconds. You college boys, God pity you sissies. If most of you fellas had had my schedule the last 2 days, or most any 2 days, you'd take a cut tomorrow. Not me. I'm just not going to go to San Antonio. That's funny. Shall we stand?